Welcome to our summer chapel. Please join me for the prayer for Wednesday morning. You'll find that on page 169 in the front part of your hymn book, page 169, the prayer for Wednesday morning. These prayers, by the way, were originally written to be used in the home on family devotions. Please join me. Unto you, O Heavenly Father, I direct my first thoughts and lift up my heart in prayer, that I may live and walk in you alone. Be my fortress this day, as you have been my protection through this night, for which I thank you with my whole heart. Watch this day also over my soul and my members. May I also turn to you in true penitence. Cleanse me from all wickedness and uncleanness. May I walk in your fear, in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, and trusting in his precious merits, I give myself to you altogether with all that you have bestowed upon me. Bless me in him with whatever pleases you. Grant me wisdom and strength to perform the duties of the calling in which you have placed me. May your holy angels accompany me and mine in all our ways, and help us to walk together in love in the narrow path which leads to your heaven. To this end, help us by your Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We join in our hymn. Our scripture reading for today is taken from the Gospel of St. John, the 10th chapter, which is known as the Good Shepherd chapter. I'll read a few verses ahead of the verse that we will focus on today, which is verse 10, beginning with verse 7. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. On Monday of this week, I attended a funeral for a 96-year-old man. 96. He was born during the Woodrow Wilson administration. It's amazing. It was the year that Baron von Richthofen, the Red Baron, was shot down during World War I. Ty Cobb was playing in the major leagues. They had only the 15th World Series that year. Think how long ago that was. 96-year-old man. Think of all the history that he lived through and all of the events and all of the developments and new technologies that he got to see in his lifetime. And he was a very active individual, very healthy, up until just the last months, in fact. And he even last fall was playing in golf tournaments and bowling. Last summer he rode on a jet ski. 96 years old. And one of the comments you would often hear at the funeral from people talking about him was, "Man, he sure lived a full life. He sure lived a full life." And in a sense, he did. The average life expectancy for a male here in the United States is about 76.2 years. The average life expectancy for a female in the United States is 81 point some years. So he certainly beat the odds. But here's my question. So what? He pushed the envelope of time on this earth a little bit further than maybe the average person. And he got to ride on a jet ski and play golf into his 90s. Big deal. So what? It's interesting how we accommodate our thinking and many times our ideas and comments into the world that we live in, which is this fallen world full of sin and death. It's a world that has limits to it. And when someone can push past those limits a little more than we might expect, wow, that's a full life we talk about. When our Lord was present in the creation of the world, the Garden of Eden, just think about what life was like for our first parents. We're told in the book of Genesis, God saw all that he had made, and indeed it was very good. Very good. No death, no sin, no pain, no sadness, no sickness. Nothing like that, no limits in that sense. I remember as a little child reading those books, as maybe you did, about the creation story and seeing those paintings of Adam and Eve. And trying to imagine what it was like to live in a world like that, that had nothing wrong in it. The world that we live in today is not even a shadow of that. The bodies that we inhabit right now are nothing but a corpse compared to the perfect bodies and the perfect life experiences that our first parents were allowed to have. My son likes to find YouTube clips of very interesting and fascinating and amazing things that people can do. Maybe it's in the sports world, athletics, or maybe it's in some other feat or a talent that they may have, visual arts, musical arts. He sends me clips about once a week. I get something. Sometimes I pass them on to some of you, of different amazing feats that people are able to do. And we're just fascinated by that. To see somebody that can push the boundaries of talent, push the extremes of knowledge or ability. It just amazes us. And I often think, what did human beings have prior to the fall? Before the fall into sin, what were we capable of doing? What were our first parents capable of knowing, and the talent that they could have, and the skills and the bodies that they possessed? There's an ideal standard that we kind of have a sense about in our minds. It's kind of like an evaporating vapor. And yet we kind of have this sense that there's always something perfect out there. There's always an ideal out there that we could strive for and reach, but we never quite attain it. It always seems to get away from us. It just eludes us. Jerry Seinfeld, the comedian, said, "Life is a constant search for the perfect box. And when you die, they finally put you in it." That's a great way to put it, isn't it? Life is the constant search for the perfect box. The joys that we can have in this life and the things that we can gain and get are ultimately limited by sadness and by the fall into sin itself. We're kind of like, in this world, when we get excited about things, we're kind of like prisoners on death row who get all excited that they're serving ice cream bars at lunch today. That doesn't change the condition. Now, into this pathetic scene, into this fallen world that limits us, the Lord of life, the Creator of life, the Son of God himself, steps forward and comes to us through his word and says these beautiful words, "I have come that you may have life and have it to the full." Some translations have it abundantly. Now, a normal shepherd is typically in it for himself, even if he takes care of his sheep to some extent. He's ultimately in it for the paycheck or the payoff. But not the good shepherd. The good shepherd is in this entirely for you. His mission is entirely around you so that you could have life to the full. The very heart of the mission of the Son of God coming into this world and taking on human flesh and living out that life for us and going to the cross and rising again, the very heart of all of that mission was you. It was your future. It was so that you could get to know what it means when Jesus says you could have life more abundantly to the full. So Jesus has come for this specific purpose of giving you this life, full, lasting, everlasting, eternal life. And not just in little small portions that you might get to enjoy for a little while and then it goes away, but to the fullest possible measure that will never stop. And you now possess this wonderful life he's talking about through faith in him. When you recognize, as I do too, our sins and hold on to what our Savior did for us and grab on to that forgiveness of sins by faith. Martin Luther said it well. Where there is forgiveness of sins, there is also life and salvation. That abundant life. When God in Scripture speaks about us as believers possessing life, he doesn't talk about it merely in the future. Certainly we will experience it in the future. But the possession of it is even for us now. He speaks of it in the present tense. Your Lord Jesus Christ has come into this world on this one mission, and that is to restore life to you and for your future. To return you, if you will, back to Eden. In fact, an even better Eden. To give you the full life, true full life. Imagine if we could go and talk to that man right now who is a devout Christian, who's in heaven that I mentioned, that 96-year-old man, and talk to him now and use the expression that we use, that he had lived a full life. How he would stop us from saying that. Because listen to the life the way God describes it in heaven. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away.'" And knowing we have this abundant future life ahead of us, we can look at this life with a whole different set of eyes. May God give us hearts of faith to live for that abundant life our Lord has come to bring. Amen. Please rise and let us join in our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. We join in our final hymn.